Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And Holly Michelle.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We are here. We are here.
So
I'm good. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And last week, we talked about the Tholian web, and Holly had burning questions about why Tholians do the things that they do. So this week, we're moving on to Amira Darkly, Part 1 and 2. But first... Aaron has some news.
I have inoperable, no.
Inoperable, no. Testicular cancer.
Yes, exactly. No, I don't want to malign anybody with testicular cancer. I feel sorry for anybody who does. But anyways, we have Star Trek Discovery's cast had a season 2 panel up in Toronto at the Fan Expo. And they didn't say anything too incredibly big. I mean, they basically talked about a lot of everyone saying that Ethan Peck as Spock is hot. So that's good to know.
Hopefully he's furry like Spock was in that one episode where he took his shirt off.
Free Spock, right? Right, we want to do that. We get the, what's his name? Anson Mount, who's playing Pike. Mm-hmm. He says that he's a big thief and he loves stealing. And he's stolen things from Shatner in the past, and he has respect for Geoffrey Hunter, but he has to find his own way. But he's stealing little parts and things to make the character come alive. So that's interesting. Apparently, Tilly is going to be more badass, so she won't be as timid, maybe, and she's starting to explore more of her moving forward.
I hope she goes full Captain Killy.
Yes, she'll start killing everybody on the crew.
Yes, she'll help Laurel, and they'll take over the Earthlings. It'll be great.
Right, exactly. Next thing we have is Stamets talking about the spore drive. So we get this point where the spore drive isn't doesn't seem like it's going to be as a big of a deal in this the season, or at least that's what he's alluding to. He said that this is what Anthony Rapp says, is that there wasn't any time to process the cataclysmic events of season one because we had to get through it. So I'm really grateful in season two I get to deal with the aftermath of the loss of Culber and the question of what is next now if this spore drive isn't going to continue as it is. What is there to do? And I think it's really interesting human experience for people who have experienced loss and what they go through. And I'm very grateful for writers for giving me the time and space to grieve and what growth can come from it as possible. So that was Anthony Rapp's statement about the future, his character.
I really feel like that's a manufactured statement that he's been told to tell by the studio, personally. Because we know Culber's coming back. He was on the panel at the San Diego Comic-Con. And so he wasn't going to be there if it's going to be a bit part. I mean, from the way they described it. So, I mean, and they say he's not coming back as a ghost or anything weird. They say it's supposed to be, like, physically back.
As a tardigrade.
As a tardigrade. And he'll hug him, like, in the game, and then he'll turn back into his human form. So it'll just... It's like kissing the frog, and it turns into a prince. It's you make love to the tardigrade, it turns back into your old boyfriend.
Yes. Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes. Ghost. Yes. But I mean, I also, like, I mean, maybe they may not use the spore drive as much, but I feel like they have to use the spore drive at least some in season two, because they said those points of light in the teaser were spread across 30,000 light years, and there's no way they can go that at warp if they have to investigate every single one of them to figure out what's going on with Spock. I mean, that's the only reason I could see why Pike would even consider abducting the Discovery. Because, I mean, that's the only thing Discovery can do that Enterprise can't. I mean, granted, sure. Enterprise is only a couple, you know, it's like 4 or 5 years older at this point. But, I mean, it's not like, I don't know, it's Discovery's a science vessel. It's not an all-around battle cruiser like the Enterprise is. The only thing it has that the Enterprise doesn't is the spore drive. So, I mean, they might explain other things. But, I mean, just on the surface, from what we know, spore drive's the only defining factor. And 30,000 light years is nothing to sneeze at. So, with the warp drive being slower in TOS era versus, you know, Voyager era, he's going to need that to help save Spock.
Right.
So, that's why I feel like it's a manufactured statement.
Sure. Well, it might be, and it's probably guarded. I mean, I as we said before we started the show, I think maybe Stamets isn't going to use a spore drive as much as Lorca made him. So that would be one thing, of course.
I think Anson Mount should take out of Lorca's playbook, because I love Lorca. He's like my favorite captain still, even though they ruined him.
Even though he's evil.
I love villains.
Villains are great.
I just love them.
Well, and the thing is, too, is maybe they will use it sparingly. But the other thing is you have to consider is that Stamets character took the tardigrade DNA and he infused it with him so he could interact with the spore drive. So that's kind of illegal from what we know in the Starfleet and the Federation. So, I mean, it's, you're augmenting yourself. So,
right.
Anyways, making yourself experiment like that.
Well, he helped them win the war, turn the Klingons back. I'm pretty sure they've just ignored that fact. I don't see them needing to delve into it anymore. I mean, I guess they could, but the season's only supposed to be 13 episodes versus 15 episodes. And, like, I'd rather them do a more ensemble character moments and, like, oh, look, let's revisit this thing that we said was going to be a big deal and never was.
Right. Right. Well, so that's basically it. I mean, the only other thing was Doug Jones basically said that he was hoping that maybe we'd get a chance to talk about his solution for his fears and basically, you know, it developing his character more, mm-hmm. if anything. So it was all kind of bland, but it was, you know, obviously they're up there in Toronto filming. Not far from us right now, Dave. We could go sneak down to the set right now.
Oh, we should totally do that.
You should.
Should be nerdy podcasters. Yeah, can we talk with you guys for a minute and tell us something not canned, please? For our show, we won't play it. The show airs. We promise.
Right. Exactly. Well, anyway, so that's basically it. I mean,
Holly, you bail us out of jail, right? Whenever they arrest us for sneaking onto the set.
Yeah, but I don't have a passport yet, so you're gonna have to get arrested on the U.S. side.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard when you're in Toronto. There's no U.S. side of Toronto.
Well, I'm just saying, I can't get over there.
Gotcha.
I know people who I could send over there.
Oh, okay. As long as you can bail us out, that's all that matters.
Right.
I know people.
I got the guy.
or bail us out by proxy.
Right. Well, should we get into our episodes that we're talking about here? We're talking about the Enterprise episodes, In a Mirror Darkly, Part 1 and 2. First one, Part 1, aired April 22nd, 2005. And this is Season 4, Episode 18. This, I forgot this was in the very beginning of this. It was the meeting of Zefram Cochrane and the Vulcan where he blows him away.
It's so awesome. It's like the same actor, too, from First Contact. I wonder if they were filming First Contact around this time because it was so perfect.
I don't think so. I think they just staged. So if you look at scene by scene, it's the same part as a movie, but then they just reshot the part where he pulls out the shotgun. You never see Zefram Cochrane's face.
Oh, or the Vulcan's face after he shot.
Yeah, the guy flies backwards. So
clever girl. You know.
It's a Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Reference.
Clever girl.
Clever girl. Holly, did you see this? Did you remember that this was in the original movie for First Contact?
Yeah, it's funny because I was watching it and I went, wait a second.
What am I watching?
I've seen this. And then I was like, this is going to be so easy because I've already seen this. And then I'm like watching it and I'm like, okay, yeah, all right. Oh, okay. Well, that's like a play-by-play. I was like, I guess I'm watching this entire thing again because I was like, yeah, I have not seen this.
he was like, that's not how I remember it ending.
Right.
So after that scene, we get the militant music and all the death and destruction on the opening and no horrible fucking song. So how did you feel about that, Holly?
I really liked I loved it, and I really appreciated how, like, I know some of the computer graphics weren't great, but I love how the whole opening was representing this mirror universe, and it was like it showed you like splits in the path and like differences. I don't know, it was great, and I loved the music, obviously. I'm not just because it didn't have the terrible song, but but I actually really enjoyed the music, so I think
it was great, and it was militant.
I really appreciate it. I could recognize, like, oh, this is about the other universe.
right.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and they definitely put some effort into the graphics for that too, because there was like some fighting scenes. Maybe they're from past episodes. I just didn't remember them from, but you know, basically them attacking the ships, attacking. Yeah. All that stuff. But yeah. I thought that was great.
Yeah. Really the only cool one that really bugged me, I think, was the moon landing one that was like, or it might not have been the moon landing. It may have been a different planet. They planted a flag, but that one was just very obviously computer generated. And I was like, it just didn't, like, if all of the other ones were so obvious, it wouldn't have stood out. But because it stood out, it kind of took away from the whole experience, if you will, of watching it. So, but otherwise, I really liked it. I was like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and yeah, the 2005 television graphics definitely stand out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, low budget.
And the Tholian so bad looking. I mean, he's better looking than TOS, but he still doesn't have much detail. They need it purposely foggy, so it's not hard to look at him.
Right, exactly. Well, so the episode after that, we get that teaser. We get aboard the ISS Enterprise. We have Reed, Dr. Fox, demonstrating their new invention, the first, and his first officer, Jonathan Archer. So obviously we do remember that the Agony Booth was something that was used all throughout the Mirror Universe. And Dr. Phlox and Malcolm Reed to thank for that.
Lorca can write back and thank them so much for inventing that thing. That was Lorca's favorite machine. He got off on that thing so many times.
For sticking them in there, right? Exactly. Yeah. Well, we get this basically showing it off. And obviously it's a setup for what will be used as to torture their officers in the episode. But Archer and Captain Forrest leave, and they're walking down the corridor, and Archer is talking about going to Tholian space. It seems like there's some recon. What we don't know is that he's talking about the Defiant ship. And Archer doesn't even know it's the Defiant ship. He just says that there's some super awesome technology that could help him win this fight or win this war against the rebels, the rebellion against the Empire. So we get that. We get this. And then Archer's adamant that they go into Tholian space, but Force is like, absolutely not. We're not going to do it. And kind of puts Archer in his place.
Tholians are scary as shit, man. We don't want to mess with them.
No way. So then we have Captain Forrest. He goes into his quarters, and we have Hosi Sato as the captain's woman.
The concubine.
Yes.
What's the captain's goes to the next captain? You know this, right? Herpes, gonorrhea. Oh, wait, no.
Well, we're hoping they take care of those things in the future.
In the Mirror Universe, they probably give you extra ones instead of clearing them for you.
It's
like, exactly. It's like, hey, Doc. He's like, Doc, I've got crabs. Oh, here's some gonorrhea to go with it. There you go. Have fun.
There you go. So as they're doing their pillow talk between each other, they the captain says that their rebellion at Tau Ceti was terrible. I guess they lost a ton of people, but nobody can know about it. So it sounds like the Empire is having some problems against this rebellion. And this is where Archer takes control of the ship. So he gets Sergeant Travis Mayweather on his side, and they basically take Forrest into the brig, and then they head up to the bridge to take command of the Enterprise. This is where we get T'Pol. She is quite different from the T'Pol we normally see. She's got long hair.
Midriff.
A midriff. And then take command of the whole Enterprise just by pointing some phasers. And he says that apparently he got some secret communications from Starfleet, and that they were going to hook up a Suliban cloaking device and head for Tholian space. So that's unsubstantiated. T'Pol wants to see those orders, and he says, I'll show it to you later, basically.
I feel like it's kind of strange that they have a Suliban cloaking device and they haven't developed their own cloaking devices, because there's no Khitomer court. I mean, I guess Khitomer is still really early at this point, but...
Right.
Like, there's no, like, accords preventing Federation from cloaking technology in the Mirror universe, because they're like, oh, we're the big badasses. We're not going to demilitarize ourselves that way.
I just always felt that the Empire just kind of steals all their technology. I mean, if you think about it, yeah, I mean, if Zefram Cochrane blows away the Vulcans, steals their ship and, you know, reverse engineers their ship, and then they get the Enterprise sooner or later, and then they move forward and they get Defiant, and they reverse engineer that as well.
It's actually even more insane now that we've seen this episode and we think about it, because, you know, how we last week, I think I was kind of complaining that how the Defiant didn't make them more advanced. But the thing is, they had Vulcan technology right off the bat in the Mirror universe. They should have been way, way more advanced than our universe, because in our universe, the Vulcans held us back. Something Archer complained about a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And the strange thing right now, a lot of sense in this in these two episodes, is that the Andorians, Tellarites, and Vulcans are all still part of the Empire, instead of all being just complete in rebellion against the Empire. Mm-hmm. So
there's factions. There's some rebels, but there's some of them are still under the Empire.
Right, but that they'd be all serving together—that seems odd. So, whatever.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, and it's obviously they're just trying to have the whole cast to show the Mirror Empire and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's kind of fun that way. Next thing we get, they enter Tholian space. And while they're trying to get the Suliban cloaking device set up, they're having obviously issues. Apparently, what's his name? Not Travis. What's his name?
Reed.
Thank you. While he's talking with T'Pol, one of the conduits blow up, and they have a huge problem with the cloaking device. And
not Reed. Trip. Sorry.
Trip. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I say yes. I forgot his name for a moment there. They can't use the cloaking device right away. But they do run into a Tholian ship, very similar to the Tholian ship we saw in the Tholian web. And when they attack it, they disable it, but then they beam the Tholian into the decon chamber. And this is where we learn some weird things about Tholians. We mentioned it last episode that Tholians live at like an extremely high temperature.
And they're hermaphrodites.
Yes, they do change their own sex. And apparently they can send out their own transmissions of some sort.
Yeah, because their exoskeleton is like some sort of chitin, and they can just like reverb it and make a distress signal, which is very interesting. I wonder how they work other technology. They just seem like they're naked little things.
I don't know, but I mean, more than anything is that how would you be able to transmit that far? You know, through their body.
Maybe they have technology built into them or something that lets them transmit it further, and their body is just like their body creates the signal, and they've got some technology inside them that amplifies it or something. I don't know.
I mean, they're geometrical looking, so I mean, they could be some kind of crystalline being and crystal things. So I mean, it made sense to me that they would be able to send out a frequency high enough, like, you know, like crystal glass, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. So right.
I don't know. It kind of made sense to me.
But it seemed like they're made of some kind of like you said, their outer side, some kind of mineral outer shell. Mm-hmm. And and that they have to live at such a high temperature. They said 480 Kelvin, which is I think that works out to 404 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's
toasty,
pretty hot. So basically, live inside an oven. And when they would lower the temperature, basically to torture it, you know, just to get it
It would crack its shell.
Yeah, right. Maybe they can like vibrate And that's what causes the high-pitched frequency or something.
Right, right, exactly. So the Tholian that they have in prison, they basically says where they're going to find this ship. And by the way, they did talk about what that ship was. It's they in one of the situations rooms or the meeting rooms, he shows them a picture, and it's the Defiant, and they think it might be doctored. You know, like it can't be real. So
we haven't seen a ship like this before.
Right. But they're but Archer's taking to him anyways. And this is a trip makes a mistake, or he doesn't even make the mistake. But when he is looks like he's implicated into the blowing up the conduit for the Sulban warp drive, he's thrown into the agony booth. It's a pretty grisly scene, too, I think, how they're treating him.
Oh, it also doesn't help.
That, I was not a fan.
It also doesn't help that like his face is like halfway melted anyway and got scars all over it, so it just makes it even worse. He feels even worse for him.
Yeah.
Right. 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 So, this whole time, Archer is looking for this Admiral Black. Has a spy he thinks on a ship, so he's trying to find who that spy is. So he thinks it might have to do something to do with Tucker being. Working for Admiral Black. So during this time, T'Pol, she jumps into action and she takes the Enterprise back and she
rescues the captain.
Captain Force out of the brig. Which I don't even know why Archer left Force in the bridge. Anyways,
he should have just killed him
in the brig. Yeah, he should have just killed him.
He's a softy in both universes.
Yeah, exactly. Just get rid of him.
I don't know.
Maybe. Well, anyways, so and then Archer's thrown into the agony booth for 10 hours, and Phlox even tells Captain Forrest that he's amazed at Archer's pain threshold that he could stand that long.
He ain't got nothing on Lorca.
Yeah, Lorca's in there for days.
Days
on end. Anyways, so they're already know that they're on their way to this to retrieve the Defiant in Tholian space, and Force decides to continue with it. I guess the Admiral thinks it's a good idea.
Well, he decides that they can't not, because the control has been locked and Archer won't release them. He can't release them because they've been encoded.
Exactly. So when he basically shows them the evidence that basically this is from 100 years in the future, this ship, which looks like a human ship, and that think of what it could do for us for this, basically this war against this the rebellion against the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go ahead, obviously, and they get to their coordinates, and this is where they find the USS Defiant, which is in a dock built inside like an asteroid moon around this gas giant.
Mm-hmm.
They send an away team with Archer, Paul, Trip, Mayweather, and I think that's it. I can't think of if there's anybody else important.
Yeah, no one else important. Because Hoshi wasn't there, and I was like, how is Hoshi going to live? Because I know the ship gets killed by the Tholian web.
Yes. So they beam over, and apparently they did notice that there's some like reptilian creatures living on the ship, on the Defiant, and they don't know who they are yet when they do a scan of the ship. So they start trying to get the Defiant free. They're wearing their environmental suits at this time, too, just because maybe they had the... atmosphere turned off at the time. They didn't really say why, but
I like those suits.
Yeah, they're better than the silver ones, huh?
They are. I still like the silver, purple, blue, and orange ones, but I really like the copper suits.
They're a little more believable for sure.
Also, how the mirror universe people aren't scared of using the transporter.
Yeah, they're just right over. They don't care. So they get over and they start. Hijacking the Defiant. They start
hijacking the Defiant. Why?
The docking clamps off the ship. Well, so they beam over, and then they do a bunch of things to hijack the Defiant. They put the shields up, and they basically use the thrusters to break away the docking clamps out of that moon. And at that time, they're trying to get the weapons back online. The Tholians are fully aware now that the Defiant is being stolen, and they search out the Enterprise, and apparently the Enterprise gets found out pretty quickly, and they start firing on them and start building their own Tholian web around the Enterprise.
And this Tholian web takes about 2 seconds to build.
But again, this is a ship, and there's, five ships? Maybe six?
Yeah, but they didn't sit there drawing the web. They just kind of, shot out, giant, sectors of it at once instead of just, one thread at a time. It's like, why are these...
That really pissed me off.
Why are these Tholians so much more advanced than the ones in our universe?
Right. Sure. That was really, really poor planning. I was so mad. Because you guys remember how, we talked about how long it took. And the only thing I kind of rationalized it in my head. They were taunting them. They were giving them a chance to leave. But I just think it was poor planning.
Yeah.
I was really upset about this.
Definitely. That pissed you off. He's like, that was 100 years in the future, too.
Right.
Crazy. So the Tholians use the web, and they basically destroy the Enterprise.
It just crushes it.
Right.
I mean, they're getting pounded by their weapons because the weapons can enter the web and not leave the web, but it just crushes the ship eventually, which is that's kind of neat.
I wish I could have experienced the lifelong wait from not lifelong, but the wait from the original series episode to seeing this episode and going, oh, that's what it does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You only had to wait a week.
I know, but I can, it would have been, maybe fun is the wrong word, but it would have been an interesting experience. I'd love to hear from someone who actually experienced that, how that felt when they finally were like, oh, okay, that's what it does. Or if they just gave up.
My dad?
Basically I did. That was me. I mean, I saw this episode. I mean, I saw Tholian Web probably in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously saw Tholian Web and, you didn't know what they were going to do with it. But then this episode rolls around 2005 and you're like, oh, that's interesting.
And they did you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remembered it. I don't think I was as clear about it because I hadn't seen Tholian Web probably in a year's since mm-hmm. then. But I distinctly remember the Tholian Web and I was like, huh, so that's what they do. But I honestly, it was more one of those things just sort of just like you just filed into that. You know, all those
accepted it and moved on.
Yeah, it was just something in your head like, oh, Tholians make webs.
Gotcha.
So I don't know, whatever. You know, it's just one of those things that it made questions, but that's what's cool about Enterprise. It fills in a lot of little corners that you didn't
know before. Didn't think.
Yeah, right.
Well, and also the thing is, it's you'd have to wait 40 something years to see the Tholians again if you waited from the original series to Enterprise. But at the same time, Aaron was saying, if you hadn't watched it like we did, back to back, week to week, like we did with Tholian Web and then this week Mirror Darkly, I don't know if you thought about it that much. I mean, you might think about it, but then you forget about it over the years. But since we watched them back to back, it's just so shocking how different it is. It's like, let's take 3 hours to make a web. Here, let's build one in 5 seconds.
Right.
Right. And again, it's like you just got to think about the pacing of things have changed quite a bit, over that 40 some years that you're or whatever, however long it was, it was the 60s. And then now you're talking about the early 2000s. So, I mean, it's totally different world. So but the Enterprise captain has them abandon ship and they most of the crew escapes, although the Tholians are shooting them all up and Defiant is going to retrieve all those escape pods.
Well, the thing that blew me away was that Captain Forrest was gonna go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anyone in the Mirror Universe had that kind of honor. It's like, I'm gonna go down. I'll buy you time, my concubine.
right.
I just felt out of character for a Mirror Universe person. It's like, fuck everyone. I'm gonna save myself. You know what I mean? That's how they operate in the Mirror Universe. It just seems kind of out of character.
I kind of had that thought about a couple of the different characters from the Mirror Universe. But yeah, I had the same feeling. I was
Also, like in the part two, when Hoshi and T'Pol fight, when there's that hot cat fight, like one of them's knocked out, and she doesn't go stab her; she just leaves her knocked out. I'm like, really? You're just gonna let her just be passed out? That's it?
Yeah,
that happened a ton.
Yeah, I know. It's like they're like not murdering each other. I'm like, you're not as murdery as you should be.
Yeah, you should be way more murdery.
Yep.
Murderous. well, okay, so then we're going to jump into In a Mirror Darkly Part 2. This is Season 4, Episode 18, and this aired April 29th, 2005. So the teasers on the bridge, they've just watched the Enterprise get destroyed by the Tholians, and the Defiant escapes the Tholian, whatever you want to call it, dry dock. They start firing on that dry dock or that docking station and firing on the Tholian ships to escape. So that was pretty fun to see them blow away those little Tholian ships.
This doesn't have aft torpedoes? You bet your ass it does.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen the Enterprise use aft torpedoes in the original series. Did we?
No, not really. I mean, the way they showed it.
I thought aft torpedoes was like brand new to the Enterprise D. And I was like, huh, that's interesting.
I always assumed they had them, but, you know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we get back into the episode. T'Pol, Tucker get the weapon systems back on, and they destroy all those Tholian ships. And then the Defiant is on impulse. So what happened was, while the Tholians had the Defiant in that docking station, they were taking it apart. And Archer wants Tucker to put it back together. And Tucker's like, it's going to take me a long time. I don't even know what half of these things do. So, and Archer's being kind of a bastard about it, of course, and trying to get the Defiant. He obviously wants the Defiant to go into warp, so to join the Terran assault fleet to help with the rebellion.
Squash that rebellion.
Then we get a scene in the captain's quarters. We get Archer in the old Kirk uniform, the green tunic.
I loved that.
It was fun to see.
Yeah, David, I want you to replace one of those belly button pictures with him in that, because that was awesome.
That is a fun picture for sure.
Yeah.
And
belly buttons get more clicks.
Well, there's a little too much navel for me. My husband's a Marine, not in the Navy.
I could deal with a little bit more navel.
And we have this interchange between Hoshi and Archer, and they go through the ship records of checking out their personnel record and how Hoshi did all this stuff for linguistics and how she helped with communications. And then Archer was one of the big explorers and renowned for his being one of the great explorers of early Federation. And this really pisses off Archer for some reason.
Great men don't make peace, they make war.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of war.
Yes.
Hola.
Hello.
Hello. What's happening?
Not much.
Just trying to talk about Star Trek.
Well, sorry to disturb you. But if you want to talk about war.
War never changes. Everybody.
He can't hear you. I forgot.
Oh. You shoot everything. Ow.
Can you repeat?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Captain Archer in the Mirror Universe. So he's the evil version of Archer, and he reads his back Starfleet officer's record for the Prime Universe, where he's an explorer, and he gets pissed off because, yeah, go ahead.
Real men don't make peace. Real men make war.
Right, facts. Right. We just shoot everybody.
Just shoot them all.
That's what I'm saying. Just shoot everybody, and we'll be good to go.
Right.
Get it done. So,
sorry to disturb. I'll turn it back over to the podcast.
It's good hearing from you, Michael.
Yeah.
They said it was good to hear from you. He gave you a thumbs up.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, you'll have to get drunk next week and do Ender's Game next week, babe. And back to Mirror Darkly.
Back to Mirror Darkly. So next we get this Jeffrey's tube with Tucker and Kelby. and they're looking for these plasma regulators that he said he just put into this Jeffrey's tube, and basically the they're missing. This is where we get the hijinks of the Gorn. The Gorn are in there running around the ship, sabotaging the ship, and he finds Kelby. He's like hiding up above Kelby, and he grabs him.
It's like an alien shot, too.
Right.
He had the weird vision, right. And he just gets pulled up through another tube. It was great.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of cool. I mean, a full view of the Gorn, but this is like the first time we've seen a Gorn since the original series as well. So
yep.
It's pretty cool to see the
Gorn. Was it close?
Not even close. Mm-hmm. No.
No, it made close. They kind of redesigned him a little bit. So
A lot of it. He was kind of naked, too. He didn't have his like nice gold and red splotchy tunic.
Right.
Archer goes and fights him later on, and I really, really wish they would have played the original TOS battle music, because they're on like the TOS version of the ship. That would have been great. That would have been a great, funny like callback.
That would have been great.
Dun,
that
dun, dun, been awesome. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would have
been
awesome. I don't know why they didn't do that. Maybe it would have been too funny. Maybe that's why they didn't, but I would have loved that. That would have been great. A nice little callback.
It would be pretty fun. So Kelby's dead. Next we have the Phlox telling Archer that after they find Kelby's body, that he had the killer was a large reptilian. It looks like that he, from the teeth and how it was bitten into it. So they realize that there's some creature running around the ship. This is where they start to interrogate this weird blue skin alien, and basically just, you know, torturing the guy, and they're ready to kill him with the phaser when he basically tells them that it's his slave master, which is named Slar, and has he was the one responsible for gutting the ship, and that the species is Gorn. So obviously they have not met the Gorn yet, so or they are not aware of it. So
can I ask mm-hmm. a question?
Mm-hmm.
So when this was going on, I kept thinking back to the original series episode where parts of the ship were just mysteriously disappearing.
Right.
And I assumed that was what was happening because it was kind of a similar situation, but was it a similar situation? Like, because the ship was not in flux. So, like, I don't know. It just seemed weird to me that parts were disappearing, but then it wasn't just this random occurrence. It was an actual being.
You mean the Gorn being on there, or you just mean the ship phasing in, coming in and out of phase between the different different universes?
Yeah, like, so even in the what was the last episode called? The
Tholian Web?
Tholian Web. So in the Tholian Web, like, the ship was not phasing in and out, but parts were disappearing.
Okay.
So when they're on the Defiant, and the guy even says it was right here. My brain instantly thought, oh, it's like this weird space in time, or you know, it's just this weird space that's just like dissolving all these parts. But then it was actually a being, and I was so confused, like, what?
I think it's two separate things. So we have the Gorn that's aboard the Defiant, was put there by the Tholians to basically strip the ship down and to start, you know, taking all the parts out of it so they could. Right. Mm-hmm. But the Gorn was not aboard the other ship during Tholian Web. So
threw me off because I was like, man, their parts are disappearing too. And then I was like, wait, there's somebody actually there? I was very disappointed.
I think you were thinking you're putting too much hope in the script. They're going to retcon something, but
yeah,
they didn't do that.
I like how they explained it though. How like the Tholians set off some kind of like unstable warhead that messed up the fabric of time. They figured out that there was another universe, and they used a distress signal to lure a ship to it, which is that was crazy that they had that like explanation of how that interphasic space even existed in the first place.
Absolutely, right, exactly. So as they're going to, they're trying to figure out where this Gorn is on the ship. This is where we get Archer starts having these hallucinations where he sees himself and he's like talking to himself. And he says, well, you're just going to have to take command of this whole situation and kill it yourself. So he puts himself in charge of the assault team to get rid of that Gorn. Which I thought was interesting decision by the writers to have like a maybe not schizophrenic, but sort of like a hallucination of his inner voice, like his ambition.
And I thought that was going to be another tie back to the original series because of the space madness. Like, that's what drove people to do, you know, the unthinkable and kill their crewmates. I don't know.
That's a good tie. I didn't even think of that, Holly.
And it might have been, and maybe that was just the start of it. Uh-huh. You know? Or maybe they're all crazy anyways. So.
Maybe.
So,
well, they're from the Mirror Universe. They're pretty much by default crazy.
Crazy.
Right. So we get a great you know, them trying to find this Gorn on the ship and how they hunt him down. And it's it was kind of fun to watch. I mean, the Gorn obviously looked very CGI, you know, early 2005. But it was still, I thought it was fun just to see it. And like you said, Dave, it doesn't really look like the Gorn from the TV show back in the day.
Like,
but
not at all.
But I mean,
it's a giant lizard. But I mean, like, I don't know, like the face didn't look like it or anything. It just looked like they went with their own kind of design. I guess they wanted them to look less man in a suit. And more,
oh, absolutely.
And more lizard. But I'm like... the man in the suit was fine. I mean, just the suit was bad. Just make it a little bit more, I don't know, fluid or something. But I don't know.
Right. And did you like how he made the gravity plating on the ship like increase?
What a cheat!
To trap him.
And it's like they just doubled because they kept shooting him while he was stuck and couldn't move. That was great.
Yeah, it was interesting. They made that decision. So
what?
After they
what
get
if
the...
that Gorn was the one Lorca took back? Maybe he took that Gorn.
Because
that's
it's
how,
possible.
Because I mean, in TOS era, they hadn't really met the Gorn really until that episode, I think.
Right, as possible. Right. So after the Gorn is killed, we have a scene between T'Pol and Phlox sitting in the officers' mess. And they're talking about the differences in universes, and Phlox is saying that everything's quite different except for Shakespeare. Shakespeare's still pretty grim, right? And T'Pol brings up, he says, you notice that in the other universe, the Federation, everyone's equal. So Vulcans and Denoblians. And humans are all considered equal. And he's like, well, that's dangerous talk. Don't start with that.
We can't have people thinking that they're good as other people, right?
That's right.
But I was also thinking that was like a really good setup for Discovery, where, like you had mentioned earlier, you know, there are still aliens working for the Empire, like that were specifically singled out, like the Vulcans. Maybe this little instance was just like the spark to really get them to all of them to kind of move away from the Empire.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we're seeing the beginning of that during these episodes, mm-hmm. when we have all these rebellious factions. Anyways,
math. Yeah. Common core. So, get it away.
Not fractions. No fractions. The Defiant basically speeds to the battlefront where the NX class starships, the ISS Avengers, and a couple other are under attack, and they're fighting Andorian ships, Vulcan ships, I think some Tellarite ships too, and Defiant just tears them through like tissue paper.
In space.
Good old Tellarites.
The Muppet Show, they had the pigs in space.
Yeah, I would. So anyways, After the Defiant just wins the day, Archer brings over Admiral Black, and he's like, "Well, I got a ship. You don't need to give me a command. I have my own battlefield commission right here." And he's like, "No, no, you're not going to get this ship. We'll talk about it later.
We're going to gut it. We're going to, you know, reverse engineer it. It'll be fine."
And this is where Archer basically just kills the Admiral.
Finally,
so
in character for Mirror Universe.
Yes. just disintegrate them. Just don't even worry about it. So then we have the Avenger and Defiant are traveling side by side. And we have basically Archer trying to talk to the Avengers crew, saying, you know, with the ship, we can basically take over all of the Empire, and I could use your help. And T'Pol this whole time is she obviously does not like Archer, and she's trying to undermine him. And she has this meeting with the other Vulcan, Saval, who's in the other episodes as well. But he's kind of like an ambassador type of character. But obviously now he's serving the Empire in the Mirror Universe. Yeah. And they're going to basically download the Defiance schematics and send it out to the Rebellion. That's their plan to get their the Rebellion, the fighting chance against the Defiant. One of the things that we didn't really touch on, but during that battle where the Defiant destroyed all those rebel ships, they destroyed a Vulcan ship, and mm-hmm. you could see T'Pol was quite upset with that. So, go ahead.
Sorry, is T'Pol full Vulcan?
Yes,
yes, yes.
She exhibits so much emotion in every episode I see her in,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just I always just assumed she was part human or part something else because she just doesn't. I don't know if everything I understand about them. It just, she's always over emotional. And that part specifically, I felt was, and this is, I don't mean to be over critical of someone's acting, but I just felt like it was a little overdone just because she should have maintained composure.
Sure. Yeah, like that stoic Vulcan thing. The only right. thing I can say about T'Pol is that she her character gets some kind of like she basically gets like weird if you can think of it, like, because she mind melded with this other Vulcan, she gets this weird emotional thing. It's like a venereal disease from mind melding or something like that, and where she become emotional.
It's like mono for Vulcans.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes you emotional. But also, one thing I could say about that is maybe Mirror Universe Vulcans like kind of gave up on logic after humans started kicking their asses all the time, and they needed to like be more emotional. Maybe
that's true because they can access their emotions.
Right.
Maybe
right.
they just don't feel like suppressing them as much in Mirror Universe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what's. So T'Pol and Saval are going to work on doing that, and this is where Archer decides he's going to send all the non-humans to the off the Defiant, and but he's going to leave Phlox on there
because he likes Phlox.
Yeah, strange, really weird. So
I don't think he liked him. He was definitely kept around as a necessity. He just, I think, in that, you know, pillow talk, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. he just was like, oh, yeah, I guess we could keep him. He's not so bad, the kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he actually had any kind of desire to keep him around. It was just like, oh, yeah, good point.
Right.
I need
right.
a doctor in case something mm-hmm. bad happens. And then. Mm-hmm. And then Saval and T'Pol start tempting Phlox with women.
Yes. Yeah.
Lots of concubines.
Think of all the concubines you could have. So basically they say if you save the Emperor, you think of all the things that you could be rewarded with. So their idea is if they stop Archer, they'll save the Emperor and the Empire itself. The other thing we haven't really touched on is that Hoshi and Archer – were a couple before, and now they're a couple again after Captain Forrest is killed. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously Hoshi's sort of manipulating Archer.
Hoshi's a hoe.
Hoshi, hoe. But she's manipulating Archer in certain ways, just very subtly, which is interesting as well, because Archer obviously is completely unhinged with his hallucinations and everything else. Defiant starts to approach Earth, and they talk to one of the admirals, Starfleet admirals, and Admiral Gardner, and he basically says, we want unconditional surrender. And Admiral Gardner's like, well, no, don't even approach Earth. And then cuts off the communication. And this is where they use Phlox to, while he's still on the Defiant, to take the ship out of warp by taking these giant fluorescent tubes out of the ship.
Got to change the lights. That's how you
change those lights.
Stops.
That's exactly. Change those fluorescent lights.
It's like, this doesn't even look like it. You got to take the grate off of it first. I was like, oh, okay. It seems seems like a really silly line right there. It's like, you got to take the grate off. I was like, oh, okay.
And unfortunately, Phlox is stopped from sabotaging the Defiant. He is successful for a minute, but then Tucker comes and he re-energizes the Defiant. The ship's shields come back online. The Avengers attack is negated, and the Defiant just totally destroys the Avenger. Mm-hmm. And so now they're heading towards Earth, and this is where Hoshi and Archer are laying in bed, and they're talking about all the great things they're going to do when they take over the Empire. And as they're having some champagne, Hoshi poisons Archer. Archer dies, and Hoshi takes over the Defiant. And basically, Travis Mayweather is on Hoshi's side. So obviously, she's been manipulating Travis Mayweather as well.
With her vagina. But she's a hoe.
Her hogina?
Oh, no.
Hoshi got that hogina.
And then we get the last scene where they enter Earth, and basically she saying declares herself Empress of planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's where this these two episodes end. A lot of fun to see different takes of all these characters and a throwback to the Defiant. Dave, In a Mirror Darkly 1 and 2, what did you feel?
These are great episodes. You know, now that we've gotten Discovery under our belts, I was looking for fun little connections. So Reed does talk about just transporting someone out into space to murder them. So I thought that was fun. So that's something we see practiced very often in the Mirror Universe and Discovery. We know that they're photosensitive. I feel like the sets were darker. They were actually darker in the Mirror Universe on Enterprise during the episode. So I was like, maybe they were kind of building that into canon a little bit. Maybe, but
I forgot that was a thing. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I mean, it's stupid that they have light sensitivity. It's really dumb. But I was looking at the sets, and they did seem like they were lit darker in the Mirror Universe episodes versus but I mean Enterprise is a little bit more darker, more cinematic looking show anyway. They didn't have like the bright even lighting, so I mean I need to rewatch some other Enterprise episodes back to back to make sure, but I want to say it was a little bit darker for the Mirror Universe episodes. Yeah, it was fun seeing the Gorn again. Missed opportunity not playing some TOS battle music since they're on a TOS era looking ship. Can't think of anything else that was really tied in other than just the basic plot details, but I did really like that what Reed suggested, beaming somebody out into space. I'm like, yes, that's kind of fun.
Dave is really a villain.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm twirling my mustache that I don't have right now.
It's so weird seeing you without it.
Yeah, I know. I'll be growing it back. I'll be growing it back after RockCon this coming weekend. So I'll be back to normal.
Okay.
What about you, Holly?
So I loved how they actually made the Tholians kind of spidery.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. It wasn't terrible.
Do you feel like
You never want a review that's like, it wasn't terrible. No, it was actually, I enjoyed them. It obviously made me want to rewatch Discovery and just watch everything about the Defiance. Like, I just want to understand that a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do you feel like, watching this help answer some of your questions from last week?
Well, yeah, now I know what the web does.
Right. Yeah. Now he understands.
Right. But like, what's the timeline? Because everything is so out of whack. Like, is Amira Darkly happening after the Tholian web? Like in the actual, like, I guess, real time. Like, I'm curious.
In our timeline or in Star Trek timeline?
Star Trek timeline.
In Star Trek timeline, this is actually happening first because this takes place 100 years before Kirk. But somehow
the Defiant gets shifted back 100 years in the past.
Yes. But I mean, but the thing is, if you're looking at time travel, like paradoxes, technically the TOS episode had to happen first for the time loop to start. You know what I mean? Because, like, usually time paradoxes almost always fall in loops. So, like, technically, this had to happen first for it to go back in time and for them to discover it. If it did go back in time in the future, then would it already be there in the past? So I mean, but since Enterprise is first in the timeline, if you're looking at it like from left to right, Enterprise happens first. So this happens, and then Discovery happens, and then the Tholian web happens.
Yeah, no, I think I need to draw a map because I feel like if that's the case, they had to have happened relatively close because the bodies on the Defiant are still there. Like,
right,
the not captain. Decomposed.
Yeah, the captain's still being strangled.
Well, yeah, so neck
snapped.
Exactly. So the Tholians found it like really quickly, you know, and they did find the next snap. So I mean, apparently this intel that the ship came through was really fast happening in the Mirror Universe. But there's 100 years in between Enterprise and Kirk.
So what you're saying is
the Defiant back in time 100 years.
Okay, so if that's the case, then how? Like, so, okay, you're saying that the Mirror Darkly happens before the TOS episode, correct?
Yes, because it's 100 years before Kirk.
Right, okay, so I'm just having a hard time with that because, well, I think, I don't think you're explaining it the way I'm wanting you to, because I think just because it's before Kirk doesn't mean it's happening before, because the body is there.
Yeah, but the best way I could explain it is that this does happen almost instantaneously when the Defiant disappears. Maybe not instantaneously, but it gets shifted back in time 100 years into the Mirror Universe, where the Tholians obviously take it and they put it into that that moon base.
Right.
So they obviously found it in space. I have some other theories on top of that as well that I want to talk about. But I obviously, when it made the jump to the parallel universe, it didn't just pass universes. It also moved back in time somehow, mm-hmm. too. That obviously is just fudging the story just to make it fun, to tie this into another episode and to obviously show off, old set. Like, the TOS sets and clothing and everything. So
like, it's 100 years apart, but because of that backwards time jump, like, the Tholians, like, whenever it disappeared, like, Spock was like, oh, it'll reappear. But Spock didn't really understand how it worked. They didn't understand what made the phenomena. The Tholians made that phenomena on purpose by detonating some kind of weird warhead, and it messed up space. And it messed up space across universes. So them pulling the ship back. So apparently the Federation had spies. The Starfleet of the Empire had spies, and they saw when the ship came back. That's when they got the intel, and they had Archer go find it. So I mean, with timeline of events, like, they happened really really fast together between when the Tholians pulled the Defiant from the other universe and when they found it and got the intel. So I mean, it did happen really close together in one way, but I mean, there's also a 100-year gap.
Right, and I get that. I'm just trying to figure out, like, it had to have happened where, obviously, it starts with the original series and then with
Mirror Darkly.
Yeah. Simply because at the end of Mirror Darkly, like, the ship's gone. It's no longer even anywhere near that zone. So I was just trying to, I wanted to piece that together, and I wanted to kind of, like, just look at it and understand, because obviously the first time, because I haven't watched all of the original series, I did watch Discovery, so I was like, I'm interested in actually understanding this little pocket of space.
Right. And when it came to the Discovery episode, I mean, they only gave a passing mention that the Defiant is in that universe. You know, it doesn't mean anything. Not really. Just something was kind of like thrown red meat to the fan base, kind of thing. Because they were like, oh, yeah, that's right. So to everyone who is like geeking out about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they did. I mean, I feel like Discovery was kind of doing it just to kind of appease fans, because like everyone was wondering how far it was away from canon. And then, you know, we get a couple bones. We get the Defiant bone, and then we get the mention that Archer was the last person from Earth to visit Kronos 100 years ago or whatever. So we get a couple of Enterprise bones in Discovery. That's about it. Hopefully there'll be more bones and more well thought out bones in season two.
Aaron, absolutely.
What are your thoughts and theories that you were teasing us with?
Well, first of all, these two episodes are just a lot of fun for me. I think I really decided I do not like the Mirror Universe. I don't hate everything about it. It's just, it doesn't make a lot of damn sense to me. And we've gone over this many times, me and you, Dave. It irks me, and it doesn't make a lot of sense how it could even survive without completely falling apart or going into some weird factions where they all start fighting each other. It's crazy to me. So, but I do enjoy the throwback to the Tholian web. As Holly was saying before, you know, here I grew up watching it, and you know, you wonder, like I said in our last episode, like, who are the Tholians and what are they about and what are they like? You know, because you only saw like a glimpse of them and their ships were so weird. So that was kind of fun to see fleshed out. And that's what's a great thing about Enterprise, is that they flesh out not just the Tholians. They flesh out the Andorians and the Tellarites and the Orions, and then the connections between the Vulcans, starting off with the humans, and there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot there that to get into, and it's really exciting to watch. So, that's the parts I really like about Enterprise. So they kind of take the back history and they flesh it out and make a really fun throwback to a guy like me, and probably anybody else growing up with the original series that had all those questions. I love seeing the Defiant, and I love seeing the old sets and the old clothes, like Holly was saying, with Archer and his green tunic. I mean, it's fun to see. I mean, one of the great things about the original series is just the vibrant colors. Because obviously they were doing a full Technicolor, which was a big deal, having a color TV. So those colors were made that bright for a reason, you know, to get you to watch.
To get you to get a color TV and get off that black and white.
Yes, exactly. So but it's like all the jewel colored stuff, very bright. It's just fun, just eye candy. So my theory on the Tholians is this. So like Dave, you said that they did some high yield or some crazy explosion to open the fabric of time. So when the Defiant was moving forward in the Prime Universe, it somehow it got stuck in this pocket, and it was started going through interphasic space to go into that. What if the Tholians from the Prime Universe, which the Enterprise and Kirk and Spock bumped into, were in cahoots, or were actually from the Mirror Universe, and they were trying to steal the technology to give them an upper hand against the war against the Empire? So what if that was like they were trying to rope in some ship like the Defiant or anything else they could find?
So you're saying that you think that the Tholians are in contact with each other and they're trying to help out their counterparts in the other universe?
I have no reason to believe either that would be wrong or correct. It's just that a thought that so when the Tholians show up with the Enterprise, that they remember when they opened fire on the Enterprise, somehow that that the fire exchange and the Tholians showing up shifts the Defiant to not show up at the time that Spock predicted. Wow. And he says, it's, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and so you think maybe they're putting them in the web really slowly, maybe, so that that ship would also go through.
Right, and that's, maybe they were...
Maybe that's why they're doing the web so slow, just to keep them there. That's interesting.
It's just a thought. I mean, it's not... Obviously, there's nothing to substantiate what I'm saying. It's just me saying crazy shit. But
well, I mean, it's a great idea. I mean, it would make the difference in the Tholian web speeds, like, make way more sense if they were just trying to hold them there so that mm-hmm. they could shift into the mirror universe and they were helping out each other. Like, maybe with their resonating bodies, they could communicate across the rift, but they didn't want to, like, go through it. And maybe...
Well, what if...
And maybe they don't even need, maybe they don't go crazy like humans because their physiology is so different.
True. Totally different. What were you going to say, Holly?
I was just going to say perhaps they harvested enough parts to speed up the process of their web by the time the Mirror Darkly episodes happen.
Right, exactly. But in something to also consider with the bodies that are on the ship, if that ship was adrift even for a bit, if the vacuum of space takes place, it mummifies bodies. So bodies, if they're found in space, they're floating freely. They don't disintegrate or anything because there's nothing there to disintegrate. They completely freeze. And so it's possible that ship could have been adrift for longer than we know.
Mm-hmm.
If the Defiant was to lose atmosphere. So... that's another way to think about it too. I mean, these are just pure wild speculation.
I like them. They're really, really interesting thought to think about.
Yeah, maybe the Tholians are working in cahoots, or maybe the Tholians pop through, and the Tholians that the Enterprise bumped into with Kirk and Spock, maybe that was from the mirror universes too. We don't know. You know, maybe their ships are exploring out into the Prime universe.
That could be interesting. Hmm.
So, I mean, it's fun ways to think. These are great episodes just to, like I said, just to have fun with. And it was a real refreshing break in the season as well, that to see these episodes show up just totally unannounced. There's no rhyme or reason to them other than just they wanted to have fun with them.
And they were fun indeed. But I do get to what you're saying with the Mirror Universe. Like, Mirror Universe didn't get old to me until DS9, because I feel like they, like, stretched that way too thin.
Also, DS9.
Other than the first two seasons being slow, I feel like they stretched the Mirror Universe stuff out way too much in DS9. I mean, granted, we've got some fun Kira on Kira action that is wanting to be happened, but... it's weird, but this is just the storyline. Like, I just didn't like how, like, you know, Spock, like, screwed up the entire thing for everyone, and that the humans are all being hunted, and all the other races, like, have way better technology. And so it was a weird shift. And then, I don't know. And then for that to happen and everyone still to be close together was, like, really far fetched. I was like, yeah, Deep Space Nine was, like, really pulling the Mirror Universe too hard, but I really like Amira. I like Star Trek Continues Mirror episode that continues Mirror, and I like Mirror Darkly 1 and 2. I thought those were excellently done and fun little tie-ins, especially since we get more Tholians, you get a Gorn, and some classic series uniforms in Enterprise.
Right. I guess one of the reasons for the Mirror Universe story was Enterprise was trying to get William Shatner to be onto jump onto the series for an episode, and apparently Paramount wasn't able to reach an agreement with them. So
that's weird, because, like, nowadays, like, I mean, or at least back in 2009, like, he was wanting to be part of it so bad, and they wouldn't let him. So it's like mm-hmm. it's weird how that's going, how that changed over the years.
Apparently, just recently, too, Shatner totally swore off that he's not going to have anything to do with any more Star Trek. Oh. So, this is just recently, for the last week, but, you know, Shatner says a lot of crazy shit, so.
Stuff my Shatner says.
Yeah, stuff my Shatner says, exactly. So, but yeah, this is just fun. It's a non sequitur to the rest of the season, so it's just kind of fun. And we only get a couple more episodes, and then this kind of starts wrapping up. the season. So
yeah, it's getting close to the end of the show's run. It came to an unfortunate, untimely demise.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. I enjoyed it. I definitely did. And like you said, Holly, to see someone watch it, maybe not when it first aired, but you know, in syndication back when I was very young, and wondering about the Tholians and wondering about the web and all that stuff. It's kind of cool to get like those, somebody made those answers later on. So that was fun to see. But I did have to wait a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully the wait won't be so long for more Tholians. I really hope we get to see Tholians in season two of Discovery. I think that would be so much fun to get more of them. Since they've really only been in two episodes ever, I would love to see them on a Discovery budget. And like learn more about them. That would be just a lot of fun, I think. And you know,
it would be.
Who knows? Maybe one of those little red dots is near where Tholia Prime is, or whatever their home planet is called.
Yeah. Absolutely. Apparently, Tholians also make great silk.
Is that a joke?
No, they really do. They make some Tholian silk. It's something that we see in future episodes. I think it was in Deep Space Nine, but I could be wrong about that.
Was it Encounter at Farpoint where Crusher was looking through all the...
No.
That'd be funny.
It
would be funny since they look like spiders. They just like spit out all the little silk from their little butts.
Yeah, maybe that's what they are. Maybe they're just like big spiders. Space spiders.
Spiders in space.
Let's see. Tholian silk. I'm just trying to find what this says. It's a gift that Benjamin Sisko managed to obtain Tholian silk for Cassidy Yates. Deep Space Nine and The Way of the Warrior.
Wow, that's a good recall. I mean, I know you just looked it up, but I didn't realize that it was a thing later on. I did not realize that. That's awesome. Very good call.
They just threw in Tholian for fun.
Use the word. Well, I mean, in Deep Space Nine, toward the end, they start hearing about Orion Syndicate all the time because O'Brien gets caught up in it, but we never see any Orions at all. It's like one of the easiest aliens to do. You paint someone green. You don't need any prosthetics. All you need is green paint. And some tiny clothes. I just don't understand why they talked about it so much. And they never, I don't think we ever saw an Orion at all in DS9, any of the seasons.
No, you never see him actually other than
TOS.
TOS you see.
Next Gen.
Next Gen, no.
In Voyager.
No, I don't see him in Voyager either. You only see him in the original series and in Enterprise.
And there was an Orion in this episode.
Yes, there was, and one of the crew members, right?
Yeah.
So obviously they took. and we see him in Discovery as well. So
yes,
these are fun episodes to explore. I just have such a hard time believing in the Mirror Universe. I mean,
it's ludicrous.
Gets on my nerves. It just gets on my nerves.
Like since Archer had his dog Porthos, it was a different dog. I was kind of hoping it'd
different
be like,
dog,
I was
yeah.
hoping it'd be like D'Artagnan or something. Like keep it one of the Three Musketeers or whatever.
But
just change the name because the dog's so different.
Right.
But no, it's everything's gonna have the exact same name because it's the freaking Mirror Universe. I'm like, come on, guys.
And like how we've all been saying during as we ran down the episodes, like so many times, like why didn't they just kill? Like when Hoshi and T'Pol fight, why didn't they just
why didn't they just kill the one who was down, or Archer not killing Forrest, and a couple other instances too? It's just like it doesn't make any sense. It's just like they're way too nice in this Mirror Universe. Unlike
actually, after watching these, I kind of imagine Archer's character was in the whole ensemble crew. Made me feel like what's probably going on in the White House these days with Trump. So I wonder if he has himself talking to himself like Archer does, like hallucinations.
I'm sure Trump talks to himself all the time.
Yeah, but does he talk back? That's the hard part, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
He tweets to himself too, I'm sure.
That'd be great.
He's got two different accounts. He tweets back and forth. That was the greatest tweet ever. No, well, that was the greatest tweet ever.
Well, with all the attrition, everyone keeps on losing people, and you know, in the White House, and same thing with these crews. I mean, they just how do these crews survive with everyone, you know, stabbing each other or you know, cutting each other down some way or the other? You know, it's just the mirror universe only works for so long, and then it has to break down. I don't know. Makes me crazy.
It does, but it did break down in Deep Space Nine, and that's when it got not as good, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Deep Space Nine was like the dregs of the mirror universe. And I hated that they would just beam over to it.
Oh, yeah. Let's just beam over. We just know the coordinates. Yeah. That got a little far-fetched. It's like, oh, we can just beam there now.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I guess they beamed there in the original TOS episode, but still.
Yeah, but there was something going on that was different.
An accident, yeah. Or they can just re-simulate that accident just in the transporter buffer now. Progress.
Progress. You need a...
You ready, Smiley?
Yeah, Smiley. You need a Chief O'Brien to do that for you. So... Well, anyways, fun episode. I highly recommend people sit down and watch these two episodes again. I think you'll enjoy them. Even if you're not a big fan of Mirror Universe, they just are fun.
Or just watch these last three episodes back to back. Watch Solian Web and then watch In a Mirror Darkly, part one and two. Watch all three of them back to back. That way you can see how different the Solian Web is and be like, oh, wow. That's very different. And don't have that, the time erode your memory. And then it'd be like, oh, okay, it's just a Solian Web. No.
Right.
Watch it back to back so you can see how shockingly different it is.
Right. Right, exactly.
And isn't there an episode called Mirror Mirror that ties in somehow?
Yeah, TOS. Well,
that's the original TOS where we get Spock with the goatee. And it's basically, you know, there's a Transformer mix-up where evil Kirk is the mirror Kirk. Is sent to Prime Universe and Good Kirk and a couple other people are McCoy Kirk, and
isn't it Kirk Uhura and Scotty
and McCoy
or maybe it's McCoy.
Yeah, I can't quite remember, but they get beamed over into the Mirror Universe and you know Spock's on Spock, so it's fun to watch for sure. And it was like just obviously an episode done on a lark. You know, like what if we had an evil crew and a good crew? That's the antithesis of what Star Trek's supposed to be. And it just got blown up into something totally different.
Going forward.
Yes.
They have light sensitivity and all that other stuff that was never, ever mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently there are a couple of like novellas and a full-length book and some short stories about the Mirror Universe.
People love it.
No, I'm interested in reading those.
People love the Mirror Universe. Dan Davidson from Trek Geeks, like Mirror Universe is his favorite thing in the whole wide world as far as Star Trek is concerned. Like, he adores it.
Some people really get into it. It's fun for a story for me, but it's just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I feel like they dragged it out too long in the Mirror Universe and Discovery, and Deep Space Nine was dragged out a little bit too much too.
I wanted to wrap it up and discover
these one or two episode jaunts is fine, but like a four episode jaunt was like that's like more Mirror Universe than most of Star Trek combined except for DS9.
Right exactly.
It's just a little too much in Discovery. I really wanted that Klingon War instead we got Mirror Universe season. I was like okay.
Yeah right exactly. Well,
anything else for Mirror Darkly, guys?
Not for me.
Holly?
I don't think so. Not that I can think of that probably hasn't already been covered by one of you guys. So,
gotcha. All right. So that was Mirror Darkly Part 1 and 2, following up with Solian Web from last week. Not sure what we're doing next week, although we did kind of say earlier that maybe Ender's Game might be in the cards.
Yes.
Indeed.
And it'll be sans me because I will be at RockCon. So if any of you guys are out in Rochester or near Rochester, want to come out to the convention there, I will be there. I'll be there at the Back Issues Comic Book Podcast Network's table. So those are our friends, so you can check them out online at the BCP IP. I'm saying that wrong, but the Back Issues Comic Book Podcast Network, you can Google that and you'll be able to find them.
Absolutely. Cool. Have fun there.
Yeah. Tell them I said hi.
Yeah, will do. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter, except for our intro. Our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. The show you can find online at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/syntholics. And check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/syntholics.
And you even have a Tumblr page. I noticed that the other day. I forgot that you even set that up. So
I set that up. A Tumblr page. I haven't even looked at it. I think Lipson automatically posts to Tumblr.
It does update the Tumblr. But it also, if you don't feel like going on Tumblr, you can definitely go rate and review us on Apple iTunes. Give us 5 stars, preferably, and give us some nice comments. Also, if you have any money, please go to our Patreon, patreon.com/syntholics. Throw a little money our way. That'd be great to help us out. And lastly, a great way, as I always say, is word of mouth. Let people know about the Syntholic in your life. Does that Syntholic annoy you? Does that Syntholic just babble on about Star Trek nonstop? Let them know about this podcast.
Maybe they'll leave you alone and talk to us.
Yeah, because we love getting emails, and we get like getting tweets too. I didn't mention our Twitters. The show is at Syntholic Duo. I'm at David_Jan_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004, and Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
Yeah, you can tweet us. You can say, hey, enjoy the episode, or, you know, disagreed with something that you said, or maybe agree with my Tholian theory.
The Tholian conspiracy theory. I love this theory. I think it's great. And there's nothing to, like you said, there's nothing to refute it or confirm it, except for maybe the reason the web was so slow. Maybe they're just trying to hold them there so the Rift could take them.
I think that
holds up.
I'm like the Alex Jones of Tholian theories. So.
Do you got to do it, Alex Jones?
InfoWars.
You got to do it, Alex Jones voice.
Listen, people, we got the Tholians, and they're bringing the Defiant over. I can't. I have to work on it.
They're turning the frogs gay.
They're making the Tholians gay. We should do a InfoWars, but just do it on like conspiracy theories about Star Trek.
That would be awesome. We should definitely do that.
Like Trek Wars or something like that.
Trek Wars. There's an episode called Trek Wars. That'd be great. And we were both doing Alex Jones impersonations the entire time, and Holly too. Yeah. Holly, give us your best Alex Jones impersonation.
Who is Alex Jones?
Oh my God. You have to Google him. Like, there's like compilations of his stuff that is just, that's hilarious. He's a crazy conspiracy theorist. He's got his own little radio video show or whatever.
He recently got kicked off of YouTube because of he was saying like the Sandy Hook massacre
was an inside job.
Yeah, it was fake and stuff like that. I mean, it's bizarre shit. Anyways, he's into all sorts of conspiracy theories and the reptilians and aliens and all sorts of stuff like that. So, yeah, but it's, I mean, if you don't take it seriously, it's funny, but unfortunately some people do take him seriously, so that's the hard part about it. So,
I'll send you a link after the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, no. That's our thoughts on InfoWars, guys.
Trek Wars.
Maybe we'll bring some Trek Wars to you one day soon. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
The Federation is making Gorms gay.
The Federation, yes. They're totally doing that. Here, I'm going to find a YouTube video of Alex Jones and send it in the chat. It's great. Oh, man.
It's funny.
He's so funny. It's fucked
so
up.
Stupid.
It's still, yeah. Alex Jones.
You guys were trying to speak at the same time. It was very funny.
Was it?
Yeah, because you guys were saying basically the exact same thing. It was funny.
Now you know we're in trouble. We're saying things exactly the same together.
Right.
Look it up for yourself. I mean,
so like you guys have been doing this for a couple of years.
It's a gay bomb, baby.
You just met, right?
And I'm not saying people
just a few years
have homosexual feelings. I'm not even getting
it. We don't have a problem.
I mean, give me a break. No. You think I'm like shocked by it?
No, not at all.
I sent you a gay bomb.
Gay bomb?
Yeah, it's a bomb that makes you gay.
Well,
you have to watch them. You have to. We'll all be doing Alex Jones impersonations, and no one will know who's speaking since it will all be Alex Jones. It's going to be an awesome Trek Wars thing.
Oh my god!
I want
to. Gay bomb.
If it's anything like Aaron's impersonation, I don't know how well I'm going to do.
Oh come on, Holly. Voice actor.
So deep. I guess I'll have to hear him.
He's totally insane. It's hilarious, though.
It's really, really funny.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then we have to make up all these fake conspiracies to... that might be fun.
That might be really fun to do. Like, we'd have to write out all these conspiracies, and then we'd have to have, like go in front of the camera and do a YouTube thing and just kind of, like, just talk about, you know, act like Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm. Trek Wars. Yeah. It's crazy. All the craziness. The Federation Funny Farms turning the frogs gay.
Yeah.